advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
I'm so waiting for that glass to bust one day.
I did hit that one hard.
You keep hitting it harder and harder, and I'm just waiting for it to just smash.
Where's that crazy glass I used to use that had like the weird teardrop on the bottom? It weighs like 10 pounds. I don't see it.
No.
I think you guys hit it to mess with me, but it didn't bother me.
Probably took it to wash it like a decent person.
Yeah. That might be what it's clean.
Gross ass glasses over there.
I couldn't find it because it's clean.
It's a horrible, gross.
Why I'm not drinking
glasses.
Out of those ones. I'm drinking out of this one.
Ugh.
It's the least dirty one.
The thing that I don't understand is you two always have these dirty ass whiskey glasses. I've been using this exact same glass for the past 2 months.
Because you're ghost drinking. You're not even drinking.
Yeah. It's because you moisturize because you get ashy and shit. And so like.
Keeps your glass slick. Yeah. Keeps the dust off the glass.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Dust is afraid of black people. I don't know.
It's a theory.
I didn't know that.
Got to get that racist check mark.
I can never understand. All my black friends always had like black and gold furniture. And like, I'm like, man, I get black furniture and like, it gets like, dusty
like
as
a
shit.
Fucking, like a panther. They have like a
fucking
a panther coffee table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like and it's all glass and gold.
Glass and gold.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I have no idea.
Or the matching like fucking shoes outfit all the way up. Like they get the red shoes, the red shorts, the red shirt, the red hat.
Now you've taken it too far.
No, there was a guy in the bank a while back that had the fucking outfit on that matched his Pringles hanging out of his back pocket. I swear to God, I took a picture.
That's how you got to do it.
He had like blue, white, orange, and the Pringles that he had in his fucking the Pringles little stack can.
Maybe you found the secret. Like that was his inspiration for his outfit.
Maybe it was.
I think he coordinated that shit because he couldn't go buy Pringles to match his outfit.
Well, you don't want
to. He had to have the Pringles and then go match the outfit.
And you don't want to have a green can hanging out when you're wearing green, blue, and orange or whatever, purple, yellow, and pink.
Man, I'm already a little whiskey fucking.
What?
It got me a little bit already. I had a deal with a Brad drink, and then I had a fucking my obligation drink.
You're arguing with yourself when you argue. You
know, I'm aware of this. I'm slowly losing
circles,
my mind.
You like circle around, circle around, circle around.
Do you guys remember Garanimals?
No.
Sounds familiar.
Garanimals.
It was when I was a kid. It was a department store. I don't know, Sears, Penny's, something like that. Maybe it was everywhere, but they had Garanimals, and it was like every color scheme had a different animal. So it was like, this is the alligator, but they couldn't use an alligator because they'd get sued by Izod. But this is the horse. So every, like, you could
brown.
Just, you could just, anything with a horse on it matched all the other horse stuff.
It was clothes?
It was clothes.
Oh.
So like I think they still have that.
The pants had the horse, the shirt had the horse, the socks had the horse, the underwear had the horse.
It was the get dressed easy.
So you were
easy.
Just, yeah, it was the get dressed easy for kids.
You know, if
in
you
the
picked
70s.
Out a horse shirt, you got to have the horse shorts.
Yeah, exactly. And then you were just covered. You weren't going to clash. Everything was good. It was Garanimals.
Says who though? It says them.
Hmm. Says the Garanimals.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're the fashionistas, not us.
And why would you do like a plaid stripe day or something? Hmm. You might want to do that. Who says? Society says that's okay.
That's
true. Society was telling you what matched or not.
That's true.
That is kind of weird. What makes something match? It's like visually pleasing to the human psyche. There's some weird common shared genetic trait that tells us what we think is pleasing to the eye.
Jesus well, like fucking Christ.
Red and yellow match, but it's like, oh no, that's mustard and ketchup. But some people like it. And then you say like, you know.
Thanks green. For saving me from Dave being pissed about my overly analytical psyche. Like, I can't help but like,
I think you're right.
Why is that?
Green, you know,
I question everything, Dave,
like,
okay?
Why is
I follow
it,
my motto.
Why is it that green, red, and white are Christmas colors, you know? Like, you wouldn't just wear that.
Well, that's because of tradition. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have like pattern recognition where we think these things are pleasing together.
Black and orange is Halloween. You don't wear something black and orange.
It probably all has to do with the color wheel.
What's the color wheel?
Yeah, that's true.
What is this?
Well, it's just color wheel. It's colors that go with each other.
You don't know what the color wheel is. Mm-mm.
It isn't paint or anything.
No.
It's like colors that go with each other. Like,
it's like secondary and tertiary and primary colors and how they mix.
Tertiary. I like it.
You like spin the wheel and it'll show you like, oh, if you're painting with this color, then these other colors complement or clash with it.
Yeah.
And it's all part of the visual spectrum, et cetera.
That's the reason why like pigeons are gray and white.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
So apparently we just need to break everything down to pigeons and then Brent's good with it.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Like blues and purples, you know, like their wingtips, some greens.
Yeah. You can have, it has
those
to match.
All pleasing colors.
Yeah. It has to match the red in their beady eyes.
Yeah.
Tread lightly, sir. You watch what you say. Don't offend me.
I'm not, it wasn't offensive. I was
you
just
back
saying.
Off my pigeons.
Yeah. I pigeons are like Canadians. Like they both have beady eyes. So
I'm not sure where that came from.
I'm supposed to thank somebody. Where's it at? The Angels Envy last week. We thanked somebody, but I left some names out. So I am an asshole. Actually, it's because it was rushed and I wasn't sure if we could say Red Dog, but I'm saying it. Red Dog, Red Dog, Red Dog. Somebody's getting fired. But the crew at Red Dog.
You can say it?
I hope so.
You mean Red Dog Wine and Spirits?
Yeah.
That one? Where is it located?
The entity itself in Tennessee did not send this to us, but the crew themselves took it upon themselves as fans, as individuals who happened to work at that place. Sammy, Kevin, Preston, and Lena. I said that right. I did it. I phonetically wrote that right.
Yeah, it's Laynuh. That's how it's spelled.
That's not how it's spelled.
Lena. They wrote it on there.
No, it's
it says Lena.
It's Lana, but that is the phonetic spelling of it.
They spelled it wrong. Her parents were drunk.
On Angel's Envy.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Thank you for the whiskey.
Full circle.
And the box of sunglasses and all the crazy stuff. So thank you.
Beer koozies to keep the beers warm. I don't get it.
Now they are going to get in trouble. That was company property. Shut up, Brad.
Oh. There were King Cobra ones.
Yeah, there were King Cobra koozies and Ray-Ban sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was impressive. I couldn't believe they sprung for that. But.
And I do want to give a shout out to the new Sofa King clan on Fun Run Arena that is growing in strength every day.
How many can you have?
You can have 50 people in the clan.
50. Oh, so that should if I don't get a spot, I'm going to lose my spot.
I'm getting a handful every day of people. It's getting full.
I don't have time for that.
If you send me a message on Fun Run Arena, which is the third one, send it to KidNugget606, 2 G's, 2 T's. That's me. And I will send you a clan invite. And if you like join the clan just because you thought it was cute and like a week from now you haven't played once, I'm kicking your ass out of the clan.
I think that was serious. Like lyrics to rap. We would put a beat behind what you just said with the whole two G's, two T's, the whole thing. I'm pretty sure me and Brad are going to cut that up later. Yeah.
He told me, what was the clan mate that was dedication to me?
Fuck Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's already a member called
He
fuck
was the
Brad.
Last
That's
person.
That's how you know they listen to the show at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can some random person find you? It could be someone that doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Fresh and OOP.
I won't dig super into my
DOGGC
into my personal life, but I spent Christmas all alone last night.
Yep.
But something good came of it.
Country Western song.
Yeah. Here it goes. Let me tune up. Hum, hum, hum. No, I made a Velveeta shells and cheese with triple X Yucateco, and I stirred that shit up because I didn't have to cook for anyone else. No one else was eating that macaroni and cheese.
It's like unoriginal.
It was all
That's
me.
Fucking super white.
Be whatever the fuck it is, man. I don't care. It was fucking delicious.
Tier one dinner right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that is some white trash food. Like macaroni and cheese.
Did you put
a
can of tuna fish in it?
Oh, fuck. No.
That's good. I like that.
That actually is good. Maybe that's.
We're getting lower tiers
like
there.
Tuna mac?
That's. You guys knock it down a tier for that.
When I wasn't a vegan, that was always, and I talk shit because one of my roommates used to do it. And I was like, that is the stankiest,
delicious,
nasty shit ever.
I can eat albacore, white albacore.
Well, that's tuna.
That's tier one tuna.
Well, I like to taste the mercury when I'm eating it. So it has to be.
The pink meat.
Yeah.
No, I want the white meat and a little bit of dolphin in there.
That's
like if you don't have dolphin,
Yeah, that tuna's fucking pink and smells like cat food.
If that can of tuna won't effectively act as a thermometer, then Brad doesn't want to eat it.
Yeah, and I want it so strong when I piss, it smells like tuna.
That already happens. That's yeah. STDs.
No, it's not. I just want, that's good albacore.
I don't think so.
Kirkland albacore.
Anyways, it was delicious. If you're eating macaroni and cheese and you don't have kids to feed, throw that triple.
No, they like that.
It was good.
They like that.
They like about one bite. The surprise. And fucking run to the fridge.
Surprise. Yeah, fuck them. Little bastards. They can make their own food.
All right, what are we talking about, Dave?
I'm just saying, if you want to secure like mac and cheese dominance, yeah, you just fucking throw that shit in the pot, and then everybody else is like, "Oh, well, I can't eat that. That's dad's mac.
I guess you gotta make. I guess you gotta make something yourself."
That is an angle I didn't consider. Yeah, I'm on it.
You gotta be more wily.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to feed my kid. Our neighbor made us tamales, and I love fresh tamales, man. Like serious. And our neighbor made some because I had mentioned it to him that if they didn't, I was going to kill them.
They're always bland, though, for me. Like, I'm always like, eh.
Because you eat white people tamales.
No,
these
I get
are
them from
true...
the Mexican lady in the fucking grocery store parking lot, the ones that give you diarrhea for 2 days. Well,
then you eat the wrong ones. Yeah. Like,
I was like, those are bland, and then I got the shit. So that's not cool.
No, these are good, man.
No, I don't buy that shit. I don't do that.
Yeah, I fed them to my son, but he was like not having the heat. They were a little hot for him. So he didn't eat anything that night.
So you secured tamale dominance.
Tamale dominance. Yeah. He went to bed hungry. That's his own fault. Should have ate it.
Is this Red Bull that you buy me a trick, or is this out of kindness?
Why? No, you were getting them for me.
I know, but are you like trying to get me addicted and you're hoping I act like Beavis or something? Or
no,
are you just being
I
nice?
Just, I got a water and I got you a Red Bull.
That seems like a trick. I think you're playing on.
No, me. I drank one already. I wanted to get hyped before I got here.
Yeah.
It's in my truck. No, I threw it away. It's in your trash can upstairs.
That I can't get to right now to prove you. All right.
Yeah, whatever. James saw me. Go ask James.
I really appreciate the increasing paranoia that Brent is displaying.
I'm going fucking crazy. I'll be honest. I'm aware of it, and I'm frightened. It's a slow, painful, scary fucking process, and paranoia is not helping it. Because now I'm paranoid about being paranoid.
You know what's funny?
It's inception.
When we first started this show, everybody thought that I was the crazy one.
Right.
And now it's slowly taking a slight... tilt of the angle.
I've worn that hat for a long time. I'm aware of it.
Yeah, I know, but it's out there now.
Well,
it's,
I didn't realize how crazy I sounded until the Life Bites video.
I never listened to that.
Yeah, there's a Life Bites
that
video.
That you voiced over?
That's, well, no, we I didn't
no,
voice
he,
it over,
he
but
cut
he,
parts of our episode oh, into the right. Life Bites.
Yeah, so Life Bites is a YouTube show, and they did an episode, and they took clips of audio from the show, and they're almost all me. And they're almost all me raving like a lunatic about conspiracies. And I talked to
he
Brian.
He tried to
who
cut us
it.
Out, but I just kept saying pigeons, and Brad said, fuck. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I talked to the thing is, though, like any episode that I was talking about, like at the end of the day, I was probably like, so the ultimate conclusion here is I don't think this thing was real.
Yeah.
But
this
like
is the, what they were talking
the
about.
The 7 second clip that I had is me like foaming at the mouth like a tinfoil madman. And I sound like I believe all of it. So.
Yeah. If you pull the Michael Moore and like cut everybody out of context, you can make everybody suck
dicks.
Oh,
it's going to be really bad.
Yeah. Dicks are delicious.
Yeah.
See?
I had them right for there. Breakfast.
Every day. I start my day every day with a bag of dicks.
Like, Malt-O-Melon, a dick spoon right in the mouth.
The bucket of vocab that you have on all of us.
Like, yeah.
Next up, fan compilations. Yeah. I look forward to them.
Mm-hmm. Put it in my butt.
Look, two dicks at the same time.
Yummy. You don't even have to do it. We'll do it for you. Just keep going. I hate vagina. Give me the dick.
Hey, look, grandma's watching. Man, we're giving you guys so much ammo.
Oh, she has pancake boobies.
My uncle loves it. Oh, man.
Family friendly.
This tastes like smegma. I can't wait. I hope someone does make that, and then I hope Tyler Mott draws a picture of it.
Nah,
I want to see like an animation someone makes, and it's all our smegma talk.
We're eating Vegemite.
Yeah. On a dick for sure. Yeah.
It's like the little sample spoon.
Yeah.
Like from Baskin Robbins. Like the
Tyler's drawing that right fucking now. Just that's seeing that.
I just would make it really hard for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Brent has a whiskey bottle coming out of his ass. Looks like a dog tail.
Threaten me with a good time.
Wiggles it when he's happy.
Yeah. I wonder what the Unabomber made his bombs out of.
That's a good question. Wood.
Yeah, wood? Obsession with wood, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of them were made out of wood.
I did, but I didn't read
that. Well, I mean, the whole bomb obviously wasn't like, you still need copper.
Even if it wasn't made out of wood, he put sticks and little twigs and shit inside the boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Obsessed with it. Yeah.
I watched the documentary. They said nothing about this.
Yeah. So, Will, the topic is the Unabomber, AKA Ted Kaczynski. And I think, as usual, we should operate under the let's talk about the alleged facts that occurred and the bombs that he supposedly sent, because I know Brad saw some stuff that called it into question.
I got the tinfoil hat on this one.
I got some MK Ultra on it. Like, I think maybe some mind control should happen, but I did not see that it wasn't him.
I think there's about three people I think were involved in setting him up.
So let's do the basics, and then we'll get into the other stuff at the end. So Ted Kaczynski is the one who the FBI finally arrested as the Unabomber. And so the Unabomber, for those of you that really don't know this story, I didn't realize how early he had started sending bombs, but
he had quite the career.
Yeah, he had quite
he
the career.
He took a little hiatus, though.
It was 18 years?
Yeah, from 1978 until 1996, he was building bombs and mailing them to people to kill and injure them. And he really didn't get into the media attention until the 90s when the FBI was really trying to catch him.
Because Waco in Oklahoma happened and showed him up.
Right. So in a nutshell, that's who it is. And they called him the Unabomber. And I had no idea why they called him the Unabomber, but it was for the FBI task force that started along with the U.S. Postal Service and the ATF. Had a file called Unabomb, which stood for University and Airline Bombing, which is where they got the words for Unabomb, because he primarily bombed universities and people who worked at airlines.
Anyone that promoted technology was part of his thing.
At first he was only bombing airline people and universities, and he branched out. He started to bomb a couple of computer shops, but at the beginning that was
which
all
scares the fuck out of me. Right. Like, hopefully there's no copycat.
I know, just sending blank packages to Brent, leaving them on the step.
So yeah, that was because I never knew why they called him the Unabomber. That made no sense.
I thought it was uni, like so he was not, by himself.
But it's
like,
UNA bomber.
He was actually called the Junkyard Bomber originally.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he builds
that was the post office, because it was made out of like nails and wire and shit.
Right. So this guy.
How else do you build a bomb? I mean, that's.
But it was it wasn't like there was a box of the same nails.
He didn't go to Radio Shack.
It was like he had fucking 50 random different junk nails. And
he would take like a nail and sand it down.
They should have called him the Kitchen Sink Bomber. That would have been better.
That is good.
Yeah, he just didn't want anything to be traceable. So rather than go to Radio Shack and buy like a momentary switch or something that's just made for the occasion, he would wrap some rubber bands around a nail or something and then tie it off inside of a fucking wood box.
Well, and he didn't want to use technology.
True. He didn't want to promote it. You buy one switch and they have to make another switch.
That's right.
Yeah, he's promoting technology, making bombs.
So Ted Kaczynski was born in Chicago, Illinois, May 22nd, 1942. He was the oldest child of a Polish-American couple, hence the Kaczynski last name. They moved to Evergreen Park in Illinois, and his parents were like hogs, apparently, that were just pushing him for academic success. They were pulling like a Tiger Woods and just like pushing him to excel as much as he could in academics.
And he was smart.
At fifth grade, IQ of 167. Like, that's fucking gnarly smart. It's
genius, genius level.
That's 1 point better than me.
That's well above genius level.
Yeah. So he, due to his intelligence, he was socially isolated. Like, he didn't really make friends. He didn't connect with anybody.
He said he played alongside other children, which is strange. Like, he didn't play with them. He just played next to them.
Through the glass. Through the glass.
Not even to try to start playing. He was just like, hey, how's it going? Like, you want to play cars? It was like he would just keep, stay beside them.
And keep playing parallel to them.
But not talk. Yeah, that's weird.
Right. So he was smart enough, and again, everybody kept saying that he was a genius in all the research that I was doing, but then I was like, okay, so how smart is this guy? But at 16, he went to Harvard on a full ride scholarship. So that's kind of, that's in the smart category, I suppose.
They check out the boxes. He was sick as a child, too. He had a severe rash at six months. Went
crazy
home.
Allergies.
Didn't have an Atari.
His mom was quoted that the baby was home from the hospital and healthy but unresponsive. So, like, early on, he had weird, behavior, even as a six-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. And then he got to skip the fifth grade. So you already made it to Harvard, so I was jumping back.
Well, in high school, him and his friends liked to make harmless bombs. Like, so this is the...
And he was the guy, they had him go fucking blow them up because everyone else was scared of getting in trouble.
Yeah, and he finally...
Seriously?
Yeah, he finally made one that was more powerful enough to blow out the windows in the classroom.
In the chemistry lab.
So this is in high school. Yeah.
And he had a fear of people and buildings, which is...
Weird.
A weird
kind of like you.
That is weird.
I wonder who you're scared of buildings.
I wonder how many people...
Just if they're over two stories.
Brent has or will kill. That's what I want to know.
I'm not going to kill anyone.
I want to know that about everybody.
You say that.
I'm going to pull the fire alarm before I blow anything up. And I'll wait. And then I'll clear the building and blow myself up.
No. You got to kill them when they get outside.
I can't tell any more parts of my plan. Try to trick me with your Red Bulls.
Yeah, see?
Get y'all hopped up on Red Bulls. It's really just truth serum.
Yeah, that's right.
It's really this catheter. You know I can't. The catheter is what's bothering me right now.
You know I can't not tell the truth when you give me a Red Bull. Yeah.
So he studied mathematics at Harvard. And I didn't see anything that followed up on this. One of the articles that I read about him said that he participated when he was in Harvard in psychological experiments conducted by someone named Henry A. Murray.
Did you read the details on those fucking experiments?
No, I didn't. I just read that that it ended up tying into his later philosophies and bombings and stuff, but I didn't see what that was.
Well, he also skipped a grade in high school as well, and he would lock himself in the room practicing differential equations. Because he felt
like you do.
Yeah. Like that's how smart he was. He was crazy smart. I can't find this part. I'll start talking about it though. But the experiment basically involved this. They wrote an essay about their personal aspirations and like their dreams basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were put into a room and then they faced a one-way mirror with a bright light. And then the essay was turned over to an attorney who then cross-examined them through the mirror and tore them apart. And like basically ridiculed them and made fun of them for the things that they like bared their soul in this fucking essay and tore them down. And then the reactions on their face were filmed and then played back to them over and over.
Fuck.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Like, that didn't seem so bad.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They signed up for it.
And it was like a 3-year experiment or something. But some people attribute his later behavior to the possible thing of this. And it was between 1959 and 1962, I think is when that was going down. And that is, that's the right time, right? It's the MK Ultra era.
Those are MK Ultra dates. Yeah.
And it was Harvard. So
yeah, Yeah.
There were paid professors indirectly.
That sounds well like could have.
Bright light, one way mirror, fucking demeaning you and then filming it and then making you watch it.
The thing is though, that a lot of those universities were doing tests. Like it didn't necessarily have to tie into MK Ultra,
right?
Because we on our MK Ultra episode, we talked about that like there was a lot of places that were doing tests,
right,
under the funding of MK Ultra,
and they had no idea crazy that they were.
Yeah, they had no idea.
No, so I mean, no, that's what I think. But, I mean, I would say that there's a chance that that would have been an MK Ultra experiment, but not even that the professor who ran it knew.
But you know, the thing was though, it might not have been. It could have just been some fucking crazy thing that they were testing out.
What was
out,
the purpose of that experiment though? That's clearly mind control.
On your face.
That's really, that's to break you down and control you probably.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what you think.
I think a lot of things.
I think pigeons
are attractive, so don't listen to me.
Yeah. So he ends up graduating from Harvard at 20. And then he goes and
gets genius.
Slacker.
20.
He gets his PhD from the University of Michigan. And I even read that like his dissertation was very highly praised. Like his professors even were like, this guy's the shit. Like everybody was very impressed with him. And he ends up getting hired to be a professor at Berkeley, which again, I mean, it's technically not an Ivy League school, but it's one of the best schools in the nation.
One of the guys.
Well, depending on what you want to do.
But depending on what you want to study. But Berkeley is a hot shit school.
Like one of the professors that conducted his dissertation, I guess they don't understand what the fuck it is at that level.
Right.
And they said that it would be like as little as 10 or 12 people in the entire country could even understand or appreciate what he had written.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how fucking Goodwill Hunting crazy.
So he wrote a pile of shit. Then if nobody can understand it.
No, just, we're all dumb in comparison.
Took a shit on the piece of paper. And he's like, no, this is genius. Nobody can understand.
And then he paid 12 people to say, no, that is genius.
Yeah.
They just agree with me.
Just agree to disagree.
Yeah. He's so good at faking it. Yeah.
But when he went to Berkeley, though, is where you start to see everything unravel with him, because he's only there for 2 years as a professor before he has to quit because he has such a hard time lecturing, dealing with students and dealing with colleagues.
Like, he said he would stutter, mumble. He was uncomfortable in front of the classroom.
Right.
And they said it was unexpected because he was the youngest professor ever hired there. And for him to quit, they said had he been able to stay, he would have been, the upper echelon based off that paper and his level of
intelligence. See, and there you go again, trying to require so much out of him, just like his parents.
That's right.
You're just like his mom.
And I have to say, like, if you're at a hot shit university and you are so socially awkward that you have to quit, you're fucking socially awkward because they're all socially
everybody.
Awkward.
Yeah. Everybody's
like to be so bad that you have to quit means, you get those high end
students
professors.
Barely want to talk to you and you don't want to talk to them even more.
Right. Like I mean, that's where, especially in the sciences, like you get these people in math that are so fucking smart. It's like those social niceties vanish. We've talked about
numbers.
A lot of people like that on the show, and but still to
they
reach
just
a point
snort
where
and count toothpicks.
Exactly.
Hey, you want to hang out after class? Toothpicks.
I don't know. That was
only 12 people in the world don't understand.
Only
that.
12 people in the world get that joke.
I hope echelon shit right there.
I hope you write Good Will Hunting 2 and that's the main character.
Yeah, Robin Williams will be in it, but he's not going to have
fucking
a lot of lines.
Annoying.
Oh,
somebody just weakened at Bernie's, like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting 2. Like, there's just fucking some guy wearing Robin Williams like a backpack, just running around backwards.
I'll kiss Matt Damon right on the mouth.
I know you
want to do it. Yeah.
Well, he's already your man crush.
Oh, he was. Wasn't
That's
he?
So yeah. last yeah. week. Yeah. I moved on.
I'm disappointed in our fans to say that there's only like two or three people that really put it out there who their crush was.
Yeah. Someone picked Mr. B.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's a joke, I'm sure.
And then Kelp Noodles like put a man crush. Like, we're like, you're a woman. Like, we said to do a woman crush.
Right.
Like, so, yeah, people don't listen to the show. Yeah. I think it's just background noise at golf.
Yeah.
they're going to bed.
Yeah.
And just to prove that Kaczynski was like, okay, I'm just going to dive off the fucking deep end. So when he decides that he's not going to teach at Berkeley anymore, the logical decision is to move to a small self-built cabin in the middle of Montana where you eat wild rabbits for a living.
Yeah. And learn how to make fucking like fires right. the old way.
Well, which is what he did.
So. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, if you're that...
If you fucking hate
people. If you don't want to be around people, I think that is the logical thing to do. Like, you want to be self-sufficient. You want to grow a little vegetable garden. You want to be able to trap the meat.
I'm tend them rabbits.
I'm all about living off the grid, but it's like when you see photos of the grid he was living off, it was pretty bad.
I heard it wasn't that secluded, though.
Montana.
Like, it wasn't that far away.
He was able to ride a bike into town.
A homemade bike, by the way. What does that mean? Does that mean like Oildale, where he made it out of spare tweaker parts? Mm. Or did he like construct the fucking bike?
No, the neighbor gave it to him.
It's
the neighbor.
It said homemade bike was what I read.
The neighbor gave him the bike.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it was homemade. Ah, I mean, they could have welded the frame up.
That's a clue right there. Neighbor, wasn't that secluded?
Yeah. Right. No, the neighbor. And people were saying like, oh, no, he was actually the ideal neighbor because he didn't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
He
some
wasn't
of his
a
writings don't sound that crazy. Like some of the shit he says on these quotes that
some
I was
of
reading
it,
through.
Some
I think
of
we
like,
sound crazier on
some
here.
Some of it sounds legit. Yeah. Some of it's pretty crazy. I mean, there was a...
That's just the over your head part. Because like,
I
don't understand.
Because I've read like excerpts of a lot of his manifesto and stuff, and I've always thought, oh, that... Like, that makes perfect sense. I need to read it. But then when I was actually reading the manifesto, I was like, well, about half of this is some fucking bat shit.
That's crazy. Usually how it goes.
That's because you're not awake yet, Dave. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe so.
You haven't drank a Red Bull.
It's because I'm a
truth serum.
It's because I'm a leftist, which is one thing that he hates in the manifesto is
and
goddamn
black people,
leftists.
Apparently.
No, he doesn't hate black people. He hates
there was
people.
Something in there.
No,
about
blacks. I don't think he said that he hated black people. I think he said he hated leftists who like praise black people above other people or who fight for the rights of black people or who fight for the rights of gay people or who fight for the rights of minorities. It was really strange.
Well, that's kind of saying that you don't like them, though.
No, he's saying he doesn't like the people who fight for their rights.
To party.
To party. Yeah.
Fucking hated the
Beastie Boys. To party. Yeah.
So, after living on sticks and rabbits, he realizes this. And again, this is still a bit back in time. This is back in the 70s still. So in 78, he ends up moving to Chicago, moves back to Chicago, where his brother gets him a job at a factory.
Yep.
And what apparently
kind of factory, plastics.
I don't know.
Kind of foam factory. Rubber factory. Plastics. I'm pretty sure that's a nice word for dildo factory.
Makes sense.
They made dick pillows there.
Foam makes rubber?
Sense. Yeah.
What do you make out of foam rubber?
Carpet padding.
Foam rubber?
Yeah, it's foam rubber. That's what carpet padding is. Yeah.
Fine. Maybe I'm thinking about dildos. Whatever. Move on. That noise. You get me hard. You're going to make me fucking mad. I'll do it.
It's,
you know what happens.
I had mine had a silencer on it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Use the potato silencer.
So, but
mine was full open.
Yeah. Yeah. When I read this, so while he was at this, and apparently the cabin was built by him and his brother. So apparently his brother was on board with it at a certain point. And then when he got tired of living with no plumbing, no electricity and eating wild rabbits, he kind of said, I'm going to go get a job at a factory in Chicago.
Keep going. Because actually, I just remembered it's after this. So
right. So, but his brother left earlier, and his brother was one of the ones who got him the job at the factory because his brother already worked at the factory.
His brother and his dad owned the factory or some shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they both worked there. Brother and dad work at the factory.
I don't think they owned it.
Well, I read that his brother was a supervisor.
He was a supervisor, yeah.
But I don't know what the dad's connection was.
Well, so his brother fired him, so they held some type of position.
Yeah,
his brother was his boss.
Right.
So Ted got into a...
relationship
with the supervisor.
He went on a date with a supervisor.
The brother said it was a relationship. Like, they were dating.
She never accepted him as a boyfriend. They said they don't have anything in common. And then he got all weird, clingy, and tried to, like, keep hitting her up.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that he kept hitting her up. It was that he started writing dirty limericks and passing them out at work.
You mean fuck poems?
Ooh.
Was that bad?
Not fuck poems, limericks.
What's the difference between a fuck poem and a limerick?
I would guess a fuck poem's intention is to get you fucked. And a limerick is just a dirty rhyme.
Does a limerick like meet some special like?
Can we do? Can you come a haiku? Yeah. Can we do like a freestyle limerick right now?
I'd have to know the
rhyme. Most famous one, and I don't know the end of it, but it's there. Once was a man from Nantucket whose dick was so long he could suck it, and that's all that I know.
Sounds like a fuck poem to me.
But there's a certain rhyme scheme, and they're all dirty. Like, limericks are dirty.
I like how
they're always dirty.
I like how Dave came off the top with that again, like the fucking Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Like, did you send that limerick to Tyler?
That's like the most famous limerick. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Well, there you go. Who once had a bucket and fucked it?
Who once took a shit in a bucket? Like, there's a lot of different variations, I would guess. But those are limericks, and he was writing dirty limericks about his supervisor at the factory where they made foam rubber silence dildos. And he got fired for it, and his brother had to be the one who, like, took him in the room and fired him. So that, I'm sure that wasn't awkward.
Yeah.
Did you probably. Do in poetic form?
Yeah,
did he rhyme when he did it? A
haiku. That's why you don't start.
I fired you with a haiku.
Yeah. He's like.
So in that same year, 1978, he also built his first bomb that he sent to someone.
It was a shitty bomb, though.
Yeah, it was a shitty bomb. He sent it
first
to.
First bomb mailed.
First bomb he mailed. He sent it to a professor at Northwestern, just outside of Chicago, and apparently a security officer opened it, which means it must have really been shitty someone was like, is that a bomb?
He
like,
left it in the parking lot, addressed to someone else, but with the return address of that engineering professor, which I don't know how he picked the engineering professor.
I don't know how he picked any of his.
Well, what I read, according to the FBI website, all of his victims were selected based on library research he had done. So whatever thing he was researching at the time that he thought was like the ultimate evil in the world, he would find professors who were teaching it or whatever, and then that's who he would target because he just researched stuff and saw.
See, how did he get their addresses? He would have had to have used some sort of technology to get their address.
Oh, absolutely, of course he would.
Like, that's why I didn't understand. Everything was everything involved with him, like, oh, I hate technology, I hate this, or I hate that.
Well, but
like,
then again, if you just
list at the school,
if you just went, if you went to a library and read an academic journal and said so and so is a professor of engineering at Northwestern, you could get a Chicago phone book in a library, look up back Northwestern, in the day, and just say professor so and so economics Northwestern, get put the address and
people
ship it
were there. Just all listed back in the day. There was no shady shit. Like,
yeah, but he had a small library in Montana that didn't have a whole lot of stuff.
He could have just went to the school. He's a fucking genius. He's a mathematical genius, and he was a professor at Berkeley.
He didn't have a car. He had a bike.
So what's that have to do that? He might make
How's he
going
to get to Northwestern?
Well, at this point, he's in Chicago, though, because this is when he moved back to Chicago. Oh,
this is a strange point we're arguing. I don't know why we're arguing how he got the address. I'm just saying.
I just like to argue. You guys start arguing. I'm going to argue. I'm jumping in. Okay. We don't know what we're talking about.
I'm not going to address any more address issues.
Yeah. So 79. Yeah.
We have enough of those.
78, that was his first bomb. 79, he sends another bomb. And this one was pretty crazy. Like, I didn't know he was doing this level of bombings. In 1979, he put a bomb on American Airlines flight 444. I'm not sure how he got the bomb.
He mailed it and he knew it required airmail, so they loaded it for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it got put in the cargo.
But it was a flight from Chicago to DC, and apparently the bomb injured 12 people and forced the plane to make an emergency landing.
And see, it injured, they were forced to land due to smoke. Like, the mechanism malfunctioned, and after it was all examined, there was enough explosives on there to like just fucking smash the plane. Like, plane would have been gone.
Right.
Everyone dead. But he used a barometer, which is super smart.
He used paraffin wax, which never works for him.
Is that what it is?
12 people out there got that reference.
Pulling a Brin on us right now?
I am.
All right.
It's a real thing. Someone will get the reference.
Could be 11 people, maybe.
Because Brad thought he was one and he didn't get it.
I didn't think he was one.
He used a barometer switch, which I don't know how you get that or make one, but basically when the atmospheric pressure hit a certain point, it would close that connection and blow up, but it malfunctioned, thank God.
Well, you would get it from a barometer.
And it just started. Yeah, it's not a switch, though.
Mm. You put a switch on it.
Yeah. You just put wings on a car to fly, right? Wings are for flying.
Exactly, dude. Yeah.
Why are you so argumentative today?
This is a man. This is a man who's smart enough to make a homemade bike.
Right.
Yeah. No, he didn't make it.
A switch on a barometer.
His neighbor gave him the bike. This is a man whose neighbor gave him a bike. He's smart enough to put a switch on a barometer.
This is a man who's intelligent enough to ride a bike that his neighbor built at home.
Yeah. This is a man who's intelligent enough to read books at a library.
Yeah. Okay? Yes, including phone books.
Yeah, phone books included.
When's the last time you read a phone book?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe it's a thing.
So,
that's where I left off.
In 1980, he sent a bomb. I won't go through all of them. There's like 20
of them. So, hold on. He's mailing. How many bombs did he mail while he was in Chicago?
I don't know how many he mailed while he was in Chicago.
Because I don't know. I'm just in his cabin.
I don't know the date when he left Chicago to go back to the cabin either.
And some he hand delivered. There's a bunch of shit there.
Well, that's debatable.
Stats, unless you got stats.
That's debatable. I'm asking. I'm asking because I don't have them. That's why I'm asking. You should have them.
I don't know how many. I don't know how many he sent from Chicago, and I don't know when he left Chicago.
I was just asking. I didn't know if you had he sent three. He sent three from Chicago, then moved back to the fucking wilderness.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But in 1980, he sent one to the president of United Airlines and it exploded and injured him, but didn't kill him.
Yeah.
And this was long about the time in 1980 was when the task force was formed where they called him the Unabomber. And that was where the FBI, the U.S. Postal Service, and the ATF got together to try
because bombing a plane's a federal offense. So that stepped him up to the next level. Yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
So
it's flying a kite at 2 miles in the sky.
That's true.
You know that.
The task force was 150 full-time investigators, analysts. They had various forensic things. They scoured over all the recovered bomb components. They were studying the lives of the victims, trying to see what the connection was.
Had a list of 50,000 suspects.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But Kaczynski, was really good at covering his tracks. The bombs were all built from scrap material. He was very good at not leaving fingerprints, not leaving any evidence. So it took, I mean, it was a long,
he put fake clues in there too. Yeah. You see that?
Yeah. Which ones did you see?
He would, well, you put FC on everything, which should stand for Fight Club, but it fucking doesn't. It stands for the dumbest thing in the world. Freedom Club was the name of his fucking.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's lame.
If he would have called, if he would have called his book Freedom Club, no one would have read
Fight Club. Freedom Club. Yeah, it's fucking it's horrible.
Come get your freedom. That is horrible.
He put like weird notes that said it worked, like wow, it worked or whatever. Something RV, like initialed it some other thing. He put he engraved FC on the ends of certain caps. Like he just did little things to just lead them towards a path that wasn't a real path.
Right, yeah. Right. But even the manifesto though referred to Freedom Club and all that stuff.
That's the worst fucking name ever. How smart is this guy? Like, yeah. You could not creative writing though.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he's good at math.
He was logical. Yeah. He was like, well, it's Club for Freedom,
it's,
man.
That's yeah, it's Freedom, it's a Freedom Club. And it's Club.
It's a sandwich. It makes a good sandwich, too.
Yeah, the thing I was tripping on, because when I went to the FBI website and I was reading about it, they were talking about their profilers who were involved in this, and profiling fucking trips me out. Like,
they nailed it. They fucking nailed it.
They fucking nailed it.
They did, yeah.
Just based on the bombs, just based on these scraps.
The first profile.
Yeah, the first profile was that he was raised in Chicago, that he later moved to.
There was mustard in the box. And that's how
this is some bullshit. Was it relish from a hot dog?
No, like it was
from
a cart? Celery salt and mustard is all they knew, because that's unique to a Chicago dog.
They said that he later lived in Salt Lake City and San Francisco areas. They had various theories about his occupation.
That's because his letter had a lisp and they could tell the person was Mormon.
Yeah. At first I thought it was Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Every letter talked about the Bears.
Yeah.
So they knew he was from.
And most people don't
Chicago.
Type a lisp. Right. That's weird.
But his occupation, they weren't quite as able to nail down right away. They thought it was anywhere from an aircraft mechanic to a scientist. But at some point, some of the profilers said that they thought he was a college professor.
Or at least involved in academia.
Involved in academia. They weren't sure what gender. The profilers couldn't tell if it was male or
girls
or
can't
female.
Do that.
Yeah, no. They can't deal bomb. But again, the
half of them can't even go make a sandwich anymore.
Here comes the fury. We were fucking kidding.
I'm not.
Everyone just loved Brad for saying it. It won't matter. I'm like, oh, we're going to piss a bunch of girls off. They're just like, I love Brad. He always says he's going to cut my tits off and fuck me in the ear. Number one fan. First time that happened. I'm going to cut her titties off and fuck her in the ear. Like, I was like, oh, man, I'm real sorry. Brad said some shit. Number one fan. Fucking love it.
Give me money.
Fuck it.
So this is all in 19. And again, I didn't know it went back this far.
I didn't either.
This far.
You
can't even help it. You've ruined yourself.
Anything that's back, it's like, did it go back this far, guys? I don't recall.
Only if it deals with time.
Yeah, I thought it was just in the 90s, but then it started in the late 70s and continued on.
And again, it was fairly sporadic. I mean, he would maybe mail one a year, take a couple years
which
off.
Was smart, because when he started increasing the bomb rate, that's when he started losing his.
Well, there was a sketch of him. Someone saw him like through the fucking mini blinds setting a bomb on the sidewalk.
So this was that was at the computer shop. And the problem with that was the FBI guy did a sketch, and the person supposedly, and I don't know how true this is, but the person supposedly didn't accept the first two sketches that they drew, but the FBI pushed the first one because it resembled Ted Kaczynski.
I did not read that.
It was in a documentary that I watched about him. It was legit. So I didn't know that. That's what got me thinking about the conspiracy thing.
Said legit,
like,
in front of it.
Too. Yeah, said legit documentary.
Legit documentary.
That's exactly.
And
what
it was in all caps. Yeah. Legit was in all caps. Yeah,
underlined. It was underlined.
In parentheses.
Yeah, in parentheses. Yeah, question mark.
Bold.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Spanish. The K, legit. Right. Awesome.
And that photo became pretty famous. The black and white photo with him with the hoodie and the big glasses.
And it looks nothing like him.
The curly hair.
But apparently, they're like, this sketch looks exactly like this man, and it looks like anybody looks in a hoodie with glasses. Yeah.
It was time traveling Trayvon Martin.
Something. Trayvon Martin had a white nose?
That's where they fucked up. That's why they didn't want the first sketch. They wanted the second sketch that had a black nose.
Yeah.
And those racist FBI agents push for the first sketch.
Oh, that's why Zimmerman killed him.
Yeah. It kind of looks like
traveling FBI agent.
Michael Jackson with a honcho mustache.
Kind of. Honcho.
He does. He's got the Michael Jackson glasses. Honcho. He's got the like curly Jericho hair under the hoodie.
That's true. It does have a drip to it.
Yeah, he's got that MJ nose. Like, he just doesn't have that honcho stash. That's the only thing he's missing.
They did an animation of him doing a moonwalk. They're like, this is the Unabomber, and he's just moonwalking across the screen. Only had one glove on. That's why he never had fingerprints.
I'm not gonna. I got no Michael Jackson.
Dave's sound effects.
Yeah, Dave is summoning the little bit of black that he has.
Oh wow!
I got as much black as Michael Jackson had.
That's true.
Yeah. Inside him right now. Tyrone's behind him.
Mama say, mama saw, mama fusa.
What in the fuck just happened?
Umbakamba to my brother.
You know, mama say, mama sama mafusa. No. Mama say, mama sama mafusa.
You know
mama
what he's
say,
saying?
Mama sama mafusa.
It's a song.
Be honest, though. I know it's a fucking song. I know
I don't know
much.
What he's saying.
Okay,
he's,
then Brad's
not saying anything.
Page. Don't let Brad weasel his way like he's in the know. He doesn't know. Brad doesn't
it's
know
a
either.
Song.
No, you were white for a second. Okay, keep going. I'm looking up this Michael Jackson picture.
Okay. But so he ends up getting the bomb thing dialed in and starts getting some deaths instead of just injuries and duds. In 85, he gets his first fatality with a guy named Hugh Sutton, who's a computer store owner in Sacramento.
Hey, can we talk about the guy? I don't care about the fatality. The guy with the hand that got his hand blown up. Did you see that guy?
I didn't see it.
He's just missing all of his fingers.
Well, you don't open a fucking mysterious box with four nails in the top of it.
He's like, literally got nubs for all of his fingers, and his arms like tore up. So yeah, like it just maimed his arm. Like,
well, the one Dave's about to say, it ripped his chest open and his heart was exposed.
Mm.
Like Jesus, Indiana Jones.
I was just going to say Indiana Jones.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, because he ended up killing.
What else would you say in a situation
I don't know.
Like this?
He killed three Super and he Indiana injured Joneses. 23.
Right.
Over the and it's like they were fucking horrible bomb injuries. I mean, fucking nasty.
If you see a wood
shit.
Box with four nails facing up, don't touch it.
Don't open it.
They weren't all wood. It could have been plastic.
No, he had two that looked like that, and then one he disguised as a log.
Yeah,
it's always wood with him.
Yep,
he would do that.
Yeah. I would do that.
Dave's like,
In 94, he killed another gay named
another guy named
what
Thomas.
The
how many
fuck
gay
Dave?
People did he kill?
I was saying
Dave?
Guy right when I saw his
name. No, actually, you were
gay.
Saying gay. You said,
you
gay.
Said he killed a gay.
Thomas J.
We don't want to leave him out.
Poor Dave.
I was saying guy right when I saw J, his middle initial, and it came out gay.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, makes Thomas sense. J. Mosser, an advertising exec in New Jersey, got killed from a bomb. And then Gilbert Brent Murray, who was a timber industry lobbyist from Sacramento, also got killed.
You said my name. I'm in there.
Those were the three deaths. And in 95 is when he also puts out his manifesto, which was called Industrial Society and Its Future.
And I guess his typewriter didn't have italic.
Yeah, so that's
he had
right.
to type in capitals.
Right. He had to keep doing all caps on shit. But so he
fucking
he,
genius can't get a $50 typewriter.
Yeah,
like he can't
exactly.
get a new one.
Well, he had to build it out of bike parts.
Well, this was the thing. Like I, and some of the stuff I looked up, like, His handwriting on the manifesto and like some of the letters and stuff that were like supposed to be like, oh yeah, this is what made us think that he did all this stuff. And then he sent letters from jail to certain people like media and stuff. And they're just not
but
the same
he
handwriting.
He gave his brother a 23-page essay or something way back in the day, like 20 years prior to his being
supposedly.
Apprehended. Well, his brother turned him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gave us, that's what clued it. The wife, his sister-in-law was pressuring the brother David to turn Ted in saying, I think your brother's the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. He's like, no. He's like, no, I think your brother's Unabomber. And then they pulled out that manifesto
this is where,
compared it to
the fucking, this is where shit gets weird because his brother went off the grid also. Mm-hmm. His brother went to Texas. And tried to live like a life of solitude by himself. Couldn't
well, probably
do it.
Probably after your brother's the Unabomber. No,
this is before. This really? Is during. Yeah, this is when his brother's in Montana.
Okay.
Ted's in Montana.
Well, I mean, the cabin that Ted lived in was built by him and David.
Right.
David had been trying to, I guess, like get into his life and try to be part of his life and trying to get him back normal.
It's his brother.
Which was part of getting him a job at the factory, you know, and he thought everything was going good. But there was interviews with his brother and sister. In-law, the wife, and they had said that for years they had been trying to get him into some sort of home, like a like,
I didn't see
basically
that part,
institutionalize him. And but that they had no evidence that he was harming anybody where he was at or anything like that. So they didn't have any evidence, so they couldn't get him institutionalized because he was crazy. And I was just like, this guy's just out by him fucking self. Leave him fucking alone. Like, that's what he doesn't want to be a part of your family.
Right.
He doesn't like you.
It's the Ruby
leave
Ridge
him the
thing.
Fuck alone.
Just leave him alone.
Just leave him a fucking alone. And so like then the attorney gets involved. Like the brother takes the documents, the manifesto.
The essay, the manifesto.
And there's an SO. Yeah. So this happens though. The essay and the manifesto are compared by this attorney.
Right.
Now this is kind of before the brother turns in Ted. This is like right at the cusp of him turning him in.
Yeah. David, well, go ahead. Yeah.
Before we get to that, let me say a couple of more things about the manifesto, because the manifesto was a unique thing. He sent the manifesto to the FBI first.
Like you do.
He wanted it published.
And he wanted it published, and they weren't going to publish it. And then apparently he sent it to the Washington Post and the New York Times, and he said, if you don't publish my manifesto, I'm going to blow up a plane and I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah. And then Penthouse
said that they would publish it, but he said he didn't want Penthouse to publish it. He wanted a legitimate thing. Yeah. And apparently the FBI was still sitting on it and not giving them permission. And FBI Director Louis Freeh and Attorney General Janet Reno ended up approving the publication of it because they thought it might lead to an identification.
Did you see his response to Penthouse, though?
No.
He was like, I want the New York Times or a major newspaper to publish it. But when Penthouse offered, he said, like you said, that's not a legitimate, respectable publication. So if they publish it, then I still reserve the right to plant one and only one bomb intended to kill. He's like, okay, I'll see your Penthouse, but I'm still killing motherfuckers.
Yeah, I still got just the itch, one. Though. Yeah. Just letting you know. Yeah. Like, he reserves the right, though.
Like
he didn't
how
have
he
to.
Negotiated. Right. Yeah. I reserve the right to make one bomb and only one.
Yeah, I'm not making any promises. I might not.
Yeah.
It's up to me. It's my
weird.
Call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I feel that it wasn't in the issue that I liked, then.
If it's next to sensual letters, I'm not doing it.
Right.
Yeah. She's wearing a college outfit. It's over. I'm killing people.
And I'll try to remember. I have a link to the full manifesto. I'll try to remember to post it in the show.
Yeah, and you can find it. You just search Ted Kaczynski Unabomber manifesto. Yeah, it comes up.
But and the basic ideas, technology and the system, quote unquote system that we live in, is ruining the world. The only way that the world can be saved, both nature, et cetera, is if the system breaks down. That's the only way humans can be free, reclaim their dignity, retain autonomy. And that's the only way the planet can be saved. A little bit of the power is yours, action going
Captain
on
planet.
In the background. Mm-hmm. But, and he says we need a revolution. The sooner the breakdown happens, the better, because the longer the system is in control, the worse the breakdown is going to fuck up the planet. So he wants the breakdown to happen sooner rather than later. And that was one of his big things, was that we don't have any autonomy or dignity left, and the system's going to keep robbing us of it and take away our freedoms and do
all
this stuff.
See, this is like the manifesto doesn't make any sense, though. Like
that was the thing. Again, some of the quotes that I've always read were like, oh, that quote makes perfect sense. But then when you read it and he starts talking about leftists and over-socialization and all this weird.
Well, he still has his own personal opinion, but his basic thing of like having to break down, like
he doesn't even fucking talk to people. How do you have an opinion when you don't like he doesn't. He's probably doesn't watch TV. You know what I mean?
No,
he's pretty safe to say he's not watching TV. He's probably not reading the newspaper. Maybe
so he's not brainwashing. There's no mind control going on at this
probably
point.
Not.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Like I think
he's not reliant on oil because he has a homemade bike. So far he's a cool guy.
Well, you have to oil the chain.
And he basically
you have to have some oil.
Nah, he used fish oil from when he fished off the land.
Yeah. Could happen.
But no, his basic point was he didn't think there was any plan of action that would be successful other than the utter breakdown of society and rebuilding. Like because he's right, though, people's tendency, he was quoted to say something like their tendency is not to take the path of resistance. Like, they're going to take the path of least resistance. And that is, well, like we always say, continuing to watch your TV. You're not going to give up your fucking car. You know what I mean? You're not going to give up electricity and running water. No one's going to choose to revert back to the things that are better for nature as a whole.
You don't have to, though.
You're not going to. You're going to be forced into that. It's going to be the point where society breaks down. And that's probably what will eventually happen. Overpopulation or some weird thing
is going to
happen. Forces us to do
it. It's going to happen anyway. The Earth goes on a cycle. It's proven.
Right.
Like, we're all going to die. We're not going to be able to live here. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So how long will it be? Who fucking knows?
Right.
And, you know, like, we're going to get into a frozen fucking, just turn into popsicles. You know, we're all dead. And then the next civilization that comes along is like, wow, they're fucking a million years ago. These people were here. Look, they had these fucking weird things. Like,
and then they turned into popsicles.
Yeah, and then they turned into popsicles. Just all of a sudden, like, what happened?
But I mean, some of, like, again, like, I was waiting for this manifesto to make some sense, because I even remember a friend of mine who teaches at one of the Cal States did a thing in a critical thinking class where he was like, I'm going to give you guys some quotes and I want you to tell me which American patriot said these quotes. And he was just, and he would read a quote and people would be like, oh, that sounds like Benjamin Franklin. That sounds like, and he did like six in a row and all six of them were from the manifesto.
Yeah.
And he was like, and they were
which
like,
which American patriot
right.
did
but,
this?
And then, and he was, but the whole point was, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Like, you need to think critically. You need to dig deep. Like, you were all naturally, and he had like the session before, he had them reading quotes from Benjamin Franklin and from George Washington to kind of understand like the differences between them. And then they were like picking based on nuance, like which one it was, and he was like, no, that was Ted Kaczynski.
There's also,
what
like
about
a,
this next one? No, that was Ted Kaczynski. What about the next one? Ted fucking Kaczynski. Yeah.
There's someone that does that with the founding fathers and shows that they all look like terrorists or something. Like, it's like, is this a terrorist? Well, or is this that? And it was all the founding fathers.
It's like, because at the time, like, you're fighting off this fucking, you're fighting off the British to try and start your own shit. Like, it was technically terrorism, you know?
Context,
like,
and it was a revolution.
Yeah, it was a revolution.
Like all that stuff. But again, when I went and I was reading it as I was getting ready, I was like, no, there's a whole lot of wackadoo shit. And he, again, he just kept referring to we. Like, he never says I. He always refers to FC as the fucking freedom.
Yeah, freedom Club.
Freedom Club.
Yeah. Woohoo, Freedom Club. That but was so the most boring club
there's
ever.
There's an eagle for their logo for sure.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a ball.
Do they have a logo? Hand-drawn.
I hope so. But so at this point, his brother, David, and then his wife, his brother's wife, Linda Patrick, she reads excerpts from the manifesto in the Washington Post, allegedly, and she tells her husband, like, I think this is your brother.
Yeah.
And he says, no, there's no way. That's not what he's like. He doesn't kill people. Like, he doesn't have that in him.
Yeah.
And then they went to the public library so they could get a full copy of the manifesto, and then they read it. And according to her claim, like, he looked her in the eyes after he read several pages of it, and she could tell that he knew that it was her
brother. This is where I disagree. Like, it wasn't, he didn't have anything lewd. You know, he's upset and everything. You would think it would be some lewd poem. You know, that would be the manifesto. Like, when he's mad,
all of his manifesto is nothing but limericks.
Yeah,
that's a bratifesto.
Yeah, like that's how you know when he gets mad. You know, they're limericks.
Right. So then at this point, they send a bunch of that
comes up when I type in Freedom Club logo. It's just a slavery fucking poorly drawn Ghostbusters-esque slavery logo.
So they send a bunch of letters that he wrote to the FBI, you know, the earlier draft of that essay that he wrote, et cetera. And they say, we think this is him.
Yeah. Well, this is where
that's what I wanted to say leading up, because you're talking about the specific stuff of the brother, and I wanted to build that backstory.
I don't know where this attorney fits in, but he was in the documentary, and he's like, so this is the thing that kind of weirded me out. There was a couple of things that I was like, that doesn't really make sense. You know, you start looking at stuff and adding it up and you're like, I don't know, like something's wrong. And the attorney goes like, I had these written letters or the essay and then the manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and I read, and he's like, and I read both of them about four times. And I read this one and I read this one and I read this one and I read this one. And he goes, I couldn't remember which one I writ where. And I was like, writ? I was like, that's saying you wrote something. And I was like, that's really strange.
Is that a word, written?
Yeah. And I was like, it's in this fucking documentary and they did not fucking edit it or change it. I'm like, why would he say that?
You're not confusing the letters with the essay? Because there are letters.
No, there's a manifesto.
I know this.
He had the manifesto and he had the essay. And he was comparing the two to be able to decipher, like, if this guy really wrote if the guy who wrote the essay really wrote the manifesto.
Because I saw the interview with the FBI guy that compared the manifesto with the essay.
This was a lawyer.
Undeniably, they were convinced immediately that that was the same person, because like it's almost on portions of it word for word. Like the essay is 23 pages, the manifesto is 50 pages and 35,000 words. So it's just a more extensive version of the previous thought process.
No, this is his brother's lawyer.
Well, the reason I say that is because there is some evidence to say like all of the fingerprints that they recorded from all of the bombing information doesn't match the letters whatsoever. Yeah, there's and there's zero correspondence between fingerprints found on bombing material and the actual letters mailed to places.
And the other thing was that I don't know. Like I'm just saying what I saw and what I thought was weird.
I look for the conspiracy stuff.
No, I didn't even look at the conspiracy stuff until I was like, I don't know. Cause I don't want to immediately go in thinking there's a conspiracy. I want something.
I'll be honest. Like I'm always admit if I don't know. Writ. Is that a word?
I would think like, he's like, I can't remember which one I writ where.
I was like, English professor right now. Is writ a word and how is it used? If that's proper.
There is the term writ in a legal term, but it's a writ.
Attorney talk.
Like I've given you, it's like a document, a writ.
So I don't know,
but doesn't apply in this.
Yeah. Maybe you're just missed.
No, I might be. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying like, these are the things that caused me to go and look in a little further into the conspiracy side of it.
Right.
And then I remembered where I was like watching this. I saw the sister-in-law. She's like, yeah, we're trying to get him into an institute and you know, there's just no proof and we can't prove that he's crazy and all this stuff. And I started adding it up and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why are they trying to put him in an institute when he's just living on his own and he's not harming anybody? Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
I found
the definition of writ. It's a form of written command in the same of a court or other legal authority to act or abstain from acting in some way.
So it doesn't make sense. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But then I started looking at comparing, like if you look at the manifesto handwriting and you look at recent jail documents that he's sent out, like saying like, hey, like after 20 years, I'm going to talk, like this is something newer. It's not the same. Like looking at different things, different letters that he's sent over the years. Right. It's like his normal handwriting and the manifesto and some of the other things that were like, no, these are the Unabomber. They're not the fucking same. Like, right. I'm not a trained handwriting analysis person, obviously, but it's just dead obvious. You're like, nah, that, I don't know. Unless he was doing some trying to trick people, you know what I
different
mean?
Different handwriting.
Yeah,
yeah, but the manifesto, it was typed anyway. The manifesto was typed, so that wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it might have been the essay or something like that. Well, they found with some other stuff, but
what they were probably comparing it to, because when the FBI finally raided his place on April 3rd, 1996, and apparently they went to great care to rate it properly because of Ruby Ridge, because
like
of all these fucking horrible things that had happened, because this is 96. So these big FBI sieges with survivalists, all this shit had just happened. And apparently his brother
was
even concerned about it when he talked to the FBI. He was like, I don't want a fucking Ruby Ridge happening with my brother.
Yeah, their hands were so fucking full. Like 3 days after the Oklahoma City bombing, he like starts writing letters to the FBI saying, I'm going to bomb more shit if you don't do this. Like that was all happening at the same time. They're probably like, motherfucker, who's this guy?
Right. Yeah.
Like, we're already dealing with this
guy
shit
now.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
We already got rid of one MK Ultra guy. Now we got to deal with this motherfucker. Like,
but they did arrest him. They got to his cabin. Supposedly they found a completed bomb that was completely ready to mail, but he hadn't mailed it yet. Mm. They found parts for tons of other bombs, and they found 40,000 pages of his journals in which he described
Jesus
a bunch of the bombs.
Jesus fucking Christ, 40,000 pages?
Yeah, described a bunch of bombs or plans that he did, drafts of the manifesto, etc. So they had all this stuff. Supposedly in 98, and I didn't get any details on this, while he was waiting for the trial to start, he tried to kill himself. I had read, but I didn't see any details.
That doesn't sound like the Ted I know.
I honestly kind of thought that. I was like, that doesn't, like, that's weird. Like, I don't know, but I didn't see any details. But he did insist that his lawyers did not use a mental illness defense. He said, I'm not fucking crazy. This is true. I'm right. Don't try to cop me out as being crazy.
This was one of those things because this was pretty recent that he reached out to, I want to say the New York Post or the Washington Post, one of the other ones that published his story. Mm-hmm. And he said like, hey, I'm willing to talk, but because I'm not crazy like my brother says that I was.
Yeah, that was in 2016 he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's this year, Dave.
Yes. Well, no, you were saying recently.
I'm just saying it
was this year. Like it was a very
You're bad recent. With dates. I'm just saying. Okay. Brent noticed. Yeah, we were I just
never,
talking about that
I
earlier.
Never know. But no, he said, but his conditions were that the journalist had to reply and first say, I agree that you are not insane.
Yeah. Oh, because he didn't know who it was going to be.
He didn't know who it was going
to
be.
He specified. So he's like, and
he said, second, you have to tell me exactly which reporter is going to write the piece and do the interview. And three, you must include a complete list of all the questions to me. And if you meet those criteria, I might select you to be the one that I'll talk to. Yeah.
It's funny.
And again, the whole point was to shoot down these notions that he's insane because he wants to prove that he's not crazy. But
which makes sense. I mean, the leader of the Freedom Club can't be crazy.
That's right. So he ends up getting 4 life sentences plus 30 years for the crimes he committed. He's currently in the United States Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility in Florence, Colorado. And I thought it was interesting because I was reading another article that talked about the fact that he's in the same prison with Timothy McVeigh and with Ramzi Youssef, who planted the bomb in the World Trade Center in 93 that killed people.
Oh, they're going to make an escape.
Well, no, but the thing is, like, they're in this crazy, like, I was reading the description of the prison. It's like supermax. They're on lockdown in their own cell, isolated 23 hours a day. And for 1 hour a day, they're let into this, like, outside concrete, like, cage.
Yeah.
Because they can't, there's
probably
still
some sunlight.
Like, yeah. It's like, know, but they said roof. It's kind of like being at the bottom of a really deep swimming pool.
Yeah.
And there's like mesh above you.
Yeah.
But there's also mesh on the side. So you have like a strip that you can walk down, and then random people will be in the two strips next to you. Based on wherever the guards told
so it's
you
like
to go.
Ted Kaczynski and Timothy McVeigh.
Well, no, and that was the thing. He's writing letters, and the fact he knows, like, he talks to them, like, the 1 hour a day, he talks to Ramzi Youssef, he talks to Timothy McVeigh. Whoa, they're in the same section of the same fucking prison, and they're all like, and he's like, no, they're good guys, and all this stuff. And, like, he even said,
they're part of the Freedom Club, guys.
No, he said, quote, I consider myself to be in a relatively fortunate situation here as correctional institutions go. This place is well administered. It's clean, the food is good, and it's quiet, so I can sleep, think, and write without being distracted by a lot of banging and shouting. Actually, the people I'm acquainted with in this range of cells are nicer than the majority of people I've known outside.
Yeah, and probably true, because that's kind of what he wanted. You
and
know
that was the thing. And the article was talking about the fact that this is like him being in lockdown 23 hours a day is more socialization than he's had in the last 15 years of freedom.
Yeah,
because at least he has an hour a day to socialize with the two people in the strips next to him.
Man, but what standard do they go by to be like, this is enough to be considered outside? Sunlight hit your skin barely. Yeah. Like it reflected off the wall.
Yeah. You can see the sky is basically what it comes down to. You can see the sky and you can smell fresh air only in the months where it's warm enough, because it's in fucking Colorado.
Ooh.
So as soon as it's cold out, you're just not fucking going outside.
I wonder if he still goes out though. He probably does.
They probably go outside.
He said in one of his things that the biggest fear that he had of prison was that he would forget his memories of the mountains and the outdoors, and that he would get complacent and used to that environment, because his big thing was he wanted to go outside. Like the big catalyst turning point was he had this trail he would walk on, and he had this view on a plateau. And one day he walked out and they built a road through the spot, that's what did it. He was like, that was it. He was like, I realized that I can no longer
pave paradise and try to park and land.
That I can try to conserve the environment. That he had to go on the opposition and you know, forcefully go against the establishment of, you know, development.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
So and the
so you blow up people who don't make roads.
Yeah, you blow up other people.
Make roads.
Well, he wanted to just create like a fear pandemic across, you know, the world, so that everyone's scared to open a fucking package. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, like the totally article also said that his prison cell is 12x7, and his cabin was 12x10.
That's pretty close.
So it's not even like a downgrade.
He's all follows the golden rule.
It's all cool.
Yeah, the Fibonacci sequence could be calculated with a little bit of
I've seen pallet houses bigger than that.
Like, yeah.
That's fucking tiny.
Yeah, tiny house is a thing now. So technically he's pretty
good.
Cool. He's a hipster.
He's modular. Fucking, he was a tiny house before it was a tiny house.
He was underground.
And the whole, I remember when I was in college when the big Unabomber hunt was happening, like right when the manifesto was getting published, all this stuff. And I will never forget, because we had read, like, before he was caught and everything, the FBI put out their profile and it said he's academic. All his bombs are made of wood. He sends people, he's like bombing people in charge of park services and forests and all this stuff.
Your mom was down, huh?
Yeah, well, Dave was like, they're on to me.
No, like, give this a listen, because this got fucking funny. Like, this got real, real, real fast.
Your mom.
Like, I was actually playing Magic the Gathering with a friend of mine who went to Cal State with us, and we were in a class, and there was a professor whose name was Forrest Glenn Wood. Like, a Glen is in the forest. His name is Forrest. The name is Wood. Right. It said that all the bombs are made out of wood, that the guy's an academic, that he's against the American institution. And the guy was like a history professor who taught like how, like, a lot of it was about American history and how fucked up the American government was and all the shit that it did wrong.
Yeah.
He was from Chicago all the stuff was like, he went to Chicago. I think he went to graduate school in somewhere in Salt Lake City. And it said that he went to, and we were joking about it. Until we weren't.
So you're
and all
saying,
of a sudden we were like, oh my God.
So they got the wrong guy.
Our fucking history professor is the fucking Unabomber.
Yeah.
And then like, and we joked about it. And like, about a month later, they said there's $1 million reward to catch this guy. Yeah, and my friend was like, I'm fucking writing this up. And he came, I worked in a computer lab and he came in but he wasn't joking around. He was like, I fucking think he's the fucking Unabomber.
He wrote a full thing.
He got an interview. He fucking wrote a full package of all the evidence and sent it to the FBI. And the FBI came to campus and they tracked him down before class and they fucking interviewed him. Two FBI agents showed up on campus, pulled him aside, and did an interview with him.
With the teacher or your friend?
With my friend.
Oh, okay.
To like look at the evidence and like what, like, but apparently the report he sent to the FBI was enough to make him go, well, shit.
This guy's made of wood.
It doesn't take much.
No. That
someone
makes sense.
Someone like said that stupid thing on Facebook that was like, I'll go get my gun, something, something Hillary. And they got a fucking Secret Service door hanger.
Yeah.
You know, and then that one
that
guy
was in
internet,
town.
Yeah, that was in town. And it fucking said Secret Service, blah, 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 stopped by. You're like, Jesus Christ, what kind of resources do they have? They just send people out with door
hangers. Yeah, because it said reason, it said Facebook post or some shit like that on it. Yeah.
And then the other guy, they came up and questioned him at his fucking door about some shit he said on Facebook.
Yep.
So still know that guy? Is that still your friend? Any contact? Is he still alive?
I haven't talked to him. Yeah, he's still alive. He's still around. I just haven't talked to him in a
while. Not anymore.
He just rocks in the chair and reads the TV guide, though.
Yeah, that's right. But no, I can't remember, there was a ton, there was like just all these connections. Like we just kept making more and more and more based on the profile. We were like, fuck this guy. Like even at the end of it, I was like still laughing, but not really laughing anymore.
You don't know if they talked to the professor though?
I don't know if they did.
It had to have. They came all the way out there.
Like the whole thing with them, like, I don't know. It kind of doesn't make sense to me. Like maybe it was that guy. Maybe
I didn't come across.
Maybe he was upset
otherwise.
But like, I just like you said, he snapped because of the, I guess he's saying he did it. So, I mean, I guess
he has, but unless he was MK Ultra in 2012, in May of 2012, I thought this was really funny. He submitted an update for the alumni directory at Harvard. Because if you're an alumni, you can send an update about yourself. So they'll update all the previous members on their website and in their newspaper. And as profession, he put prisoner. And in the section under awards, he put 4 lifetime sentences.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of witty, though. That's
he did
weird.
Get awarded that. Yeah. He got awarded 4 lifetime sentences.
So, yeah, he's still alive. He's still in jail, kicking it with other notorious bombers.
I wonder if we can get an interview.
The faculty? Can you get on there and see that?
I didn't
listed?
See that. I just read that was something that he had
not faculty. It would be alumni.
He made it into Good Will Hunting. They talk about him in there.
No,
he's pretty famous.
Did they?
Yeah. Robin Williams talks to
you love
Professor
Matt Damon,
Lambeau.
Don't you?
I'm talking about Robin Williams and the guy that plays Professor Lambeau, who's the guy from Thor. I don't know his name, though. French guy or whatever. He's French in that movie. But yeah, he talks about like how volatile it is with Matt Damon's situation. Like you have to handle it well. He's abused. He's been adopted. There's all these things. And if shit goes wrong, you could end up being the Unabomber. Because he says, have you ever heard of a guy like outstanding, like outstanding work in like bounding harmonics and mathematics at this age, went, graduated early, went to Harvard, graduated in 3 years. He says all the accolades and he's like a guy by the name of Theodore. He says like Theodore Kaczynski. He's like, no, never heard of him. He's like
Theo John.
He's like Unabomber. He's like, oh fuck. Yeah. We got to make sure Matt Damon's on the right path. He uses it for an example.
So, right. Yeah. I didn't know. You do like Matt Damon.
Apparently you have to have a login to search the directory.
Sidetracks is hacking over there.
That's right.
He's on it. Is it sponsor time? You guys got something else?
I don't know. Final thoughts on Kaczynski?
I think he did it. I just didn't read enough. I love for there to be a conspiracy. I mean, it sounds like some MK Ultra shit with the one-way mirror fucking bright light shit for sure. I feel like that was an unknown, you know, MK Ultra funded weird thing. Because why the fuck would you do that to college kids? That's weird. You know what I mean? But I don't think that he necessarily bombed places because of that. He had a fear of buildings as a child. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
the shit didn't make sense. Like, I think his brother did it.
I think
his brother and the wife did it. Just so they could get him into an institution.
Brad pulled a JonBenet on this one. Like, I mean,
I think the brother did it.
Did provide the money that was used for the funding in some of the bomb making and mailing, supposedly, allegedly unknown to them because he couldn't financially support himself when he had the cabin.
He told them to quit sending money. They would send money and he told them, don't write me. I don't even want to know if Ma dies.
But some of that money was used, they said.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. So yeah, but I was trying to support your theory. I don't know. Yeah.
I think the brother did it. I think the brother and the wife did it. And
with the candlestick,
because whatever motive they had, they wanted to get him into an institution. I think they set it up to make it look like it. And he just took credit for it. Why not?
That's what we find out where the brother's at. See what he's doing now.
I think the ultimate
bombs for the government.
Dude, regardless of what happened, I think that, someone needs to send us, Ted Kaczynski limericks.
The second or third guy that he bombed, did you see that? He had just applied for astronaut school and was accepted, but he didn't know he was accepted yet. And it was like 3 days from then he was going to get the letter and he fucking got blown up and never got to be an astronaut.
Fuck.
That's fucking true story. It was like the second or third guy that he blew up. Oh, it's fucking rough.
That is rough.
All right. You didn't hack that sidetracks. It's sponsor
what?
Time.
What? What was I supposed to be doing?
The alumni hack you were doing over there?
You have to have a login for Harvard. I graduated
that's
from
where
Yale.
The hacker part came.
I graduated from Yale. I don't
He's
have a
Yale boy. He doesn't know.
Yeah. Yale doesn't hack. You're right. They're just a bunch of hacks. I don't know why I said
you shut
that.
Your mouth.
I will. All right. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Some people like us and stuff. We like to thank our sponsors. We do have our new
site. Are you
going to
do the sponsors or what?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. I'm not doing it.
Why not?
I don't
you
do
can
it.
Do it as Tyrone.
I'm this fucking show right now. Don't
do that. We have an obligation, sir. So I just want to remind everyone, obligation. We have a new site, our new site, new shop. You can go on there and get merch. We're almost sold out of mugs. Honestly, there's like
fucking, a couple.
Yeah, there's a couple. Like there's like one of some of those. But they should be on the way. It's getting low.
There's one of some of those.
Yeah, because I don't have the inventory. I don't have the exacts in my head. I'm going to take inventory after you guys leave.
There's one OG left. We know that.
I know there's one OG left.
So
for
if
sure.
you buy it, you're getting the last
yeah.
one.
That's right.
But we should get more soon. And also our Patreon will be up soon. We're just finalizing the levels of contribution and all that good stuff. We need to thank our sponsors. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can use code SOFAKING. If you're having trouble finding it, people have been posting all week. Someone posted from Oregon. I think someone posted from Illinois, has shown us that they found it where they live. If you can't find it, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it directly from their site. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com for making all of our stickers. You can also save some money by using code SOFAKING there. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics, who makes the shirts for us. You can hit him up on Facebook if you need something done. Thank you to Digital Creations. You can also contact them on Facebook. Thank you to Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. And also, we need to thank CJ Laser, who behind the scenes does some of our voiceover work. And I think he's feeling a little left out because, like, we kind of became half-ass famous without him. And but he asked, for the record, to be anonymous in the beginning. But now we wanted to show him some love. And we talked about it. He doesn't know about this, but we have a surprise for him if you guys can make it happen. It's CJ Laser on Instagram. We need titty pics. That's so we want titty pics. Direct message to CJ Laser.
It's not just a surprise to him. It's a surprise to me.
Okay, yeah. So Brad and I talked about it. I tried to include Dave. Let me find how I spell it for sure. But yeah,
I think
please.
It's just CJ.
It'd be cool if it was
it's
your
Laser, L-A-Z-E-R.
But isn't there an underscore
laser
or
with
some
a Z.
Stupid shit?
No.
I'm making sure right now.
No, that's different. That's different.
It is actually. No.
Oh, is it underscore?
CJ underscore Laser.
Laser with a Z.
With a Z.
Yeah.
So CJ underscore Laser. Yeah, titty pics, real if possible. If they're titties from the internet, it's fine. It'd probably just make his day to have his box flooded with titties right now. So if you can do that, it'd be a big help to us.
He's very depressed.
We really appreciate it. We use our power for only good.
He's a sad panda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as always, send dick pics to Chris DeLeon. He enjoys them.
I tried to let that go. I'm trying to let it go. Brad won't let it die.
He comes in and says how much he enjoys them. I can't stop.
He mostly likes the tip, he said. He says it's mostly the tip. Yeah. So don't hide the tip.
The vein, if it's kind of veiny, turns him off.
Overly vascular, maybe you should let it go flaccid a little bit. Let the veins tone down
just
a bit.
Fluff. A little bit of fluff. He likes it.
That's the noise that needs to be made to get it where it needs to be.
All right. You would know. All right. Another episode down the fucking toilet. Don't be retarded.
Yeah. Fresh off the motherfucking broadcast. And I'm here. Fuego, nigga. Yeah. Hey. It's happening fast. Yeah. Told niggas on the low, but they ain't hear it though. Boy, that man in the mirror is a miracle. Hey, wipe your face, mama told you no more tears would flow. We eating better than we was a few years ago. Send you Western Union on my payday. A week later, it's May Day. So you return the favor, we stayed afloat like some sailors. Bill collectors blowing us up, they couldn't fade us. Bitch, I made straight A's, go ahead and try to degrade us. Haters, but this one's funny. Man, 1 year later, I was on them phones collecting money. A lesson for me, everybody got a story, dawg. Unfortunately learned I can't do nothing for you, dawg. I'm trying to run the whole game like a morning jog. With hits like a porno blog. Not hopping out the shower to make $10 an hour. Ain't judging though, to each his own. You pay your bills and raise your kids inside a decent home. More power to you, but a message to you fuck niggas. I hope your kids grow up and never wanna fuck with you. This punk nigga knocked up two hoes at the same time and told his nigga they was lying, dog. They ain't mine. That's cold blooded, but ain't nothing new. Same old, fuck it though, what's up with you? If you made it this far listening without skipping, then I gotta show love. Don't worry, I'm just venting. The late night thoughts of a nigga on a mission. And I rock my girl to sleep in missionary position. Tuck the ass in and then I went and grabbed pen. And there you have it, words flowing like magic. It's truly accurate. You niggas posing like some hoes up in a beauty pageant. Nobody touching me, it's like I got the cooties rapping. Remember when we called niggas African booty scratchers? Yeah, that was random, but man, so is life. You grab your needle, grab your thread, and hope you sew it right. I find myself fiending for a spot to go at night, where the liquor flowing steady and the hoes polite. The fast lane make me reminisce on slower life. The Unabomber, bitch, I'm blowing up overnight. Boom. Hey yo, it's happening fast. I say it's happening fast. All the drama that I had to get past, will it last? Or will it pass just as quick as it came? Hoes knowing my name, dog, welcome to fame. I pray to God we don't change. But even if you don't, most niggas look at you strange. But I guess I can't complain. Hey man, it's happening fast. I say it's happening fast. I say it's happening fast.